The first speaker of the second part of the morning session is Alexei Zvelik from Brookhaven National Laboratory, and he will tell us about the new limit of principal chiral field and its relation to n equals 4 superangles.
Well, we heard in the previous talk about this ferro magnet which emerges as an effective D description of the n equal 4 superangles field. Well, this ferro magnet which Arkady D described is not quite the Heisenberg ferro magnet. Apparently, the exchange interaction there is more complicated. It includes an infinite number of neighbors, because the C spectrum of this ferro magnet is not just sine square k, as it would be for a Heisenberg model with nearest neighbor interaction, but the C square root of 1 plus lambda sine square k. So, here I give you an example of a field theory model where such spectrum emerges. Well, and this field theory model is the so-called anisotropic principal chiral field, which is a kind of nonlinear sigma model in a certain limit. So the ferro magnet we are looking for emerges as an effective theory for describing low-lying excitation, low-lying excitations of this principal chiral field in a certain limit. So this is a model, the Lagrangian density, where this omegas are expressed as trace of a Pauli matrix sigma A with this D derivatives of a matrix G which belongs to the SU2 group. And this part of the action, it's a kind of non-linear a sigma model with a particular metric, and this term, which will be very important for me, it's like a magnetic field or a chemical potential which is applied to a certain sector of this theory. The role of this will be to create a finite density of excitations in the ground state. And this model is exactly solvable. The exact solution was obtained more than 20 years ago. It is solvable for any parameters G perpendicular, G parallel, but I will be particularly interested in the case where G parallel is much greater than G perp. And in this particular limit, the model, if you don't apply this magnetic field H, then this model just becomes O3 non-linear C sigma model. When this, you can imagine that this term goes to zero, when G parallel goes to infinity, only this term remains, and you can show that for the SU2 group, this product is just the gradient square of a unit vector. And that's exactly the way Wigman obtained the exact S matrix for the O3 non-linear sigma model in 1985. But now I will play a more complicated game. I will consider the case when the chemical potential or magnetic field exceeds the soliton mass. And in this limit, the one of the excitations of this anisotropic principal chiral field, the soliton, becomes infinitely heavy. And we are left only with the bound states of the solitons, which are particles of the O3 nonlinear sigma model. But now I play the following game. I force these heavy solitons in the ground state. I consider such a high magnetic field that in the ground state there is a finite density of these particles, which are essentially classical in this limit. And the presence of this finite soliton density will profoundly modify the spectrum of the O3 nonlinear sigma model, and we will get this ferromagnet which we want to obtain. So to be more formal, I have to look at the Bethe-Ansatz equations for this anisotropic principle chiral field. And this is a nested Bethe-Ansatz. M is the soliton mass, which is some M function of the ultraviolet cutoff and the coupling constants of the theory. And nu, this parameter nu, is also a function of this anisotropy. And we are basically interested in the limit when this nu goes to infinity. So we have this system of three Bethe-Ansatz equations. As usual, energy is expressed in terms of rapidities of these four fundamental particles, and when nu exceeds one, this factor S naught has poles on the physical sheet, and there are bound states of solitons which in the a limit nu goes to infinity become vector particles of the O3 nonlinear sigma model. So this is the spectrum of the bound states. So we are interested in the limit nu goes to infinity, and the first first mass M1 we keep constant. In the limit, let me tell you my finite d destination point. At the end, I will obtain the following Bethe-Ansatz equation for low-lying excitations in this for this model in the magnetic field. What will this is my starting point. Now, what happens is the following. When there is a large magnetic field, there will be a macroscopic number of this solitons in the ground state. So this N will be of order of the system size. But a finite magnetic field will wipe out this auxiliary rapidity mu because now it's energetically costly to excite them. So no mu here. Well, S0 is some M factor which explicit expression for it is not important for us at this stage. What is important for us to know that this S0 has poles. This poles lead to formation of this soliton bound states, and in the limit I consider M goes to infinity, but M1, the mass of the first bound state, stays constant. This is the now in this a limit of high density of solitons, lambda particles will acquire a d dispersion law. They used to be d dispersionless, but when you exclude the a density, the ground state density of theta, they will acquire a finite d dispersion, and this d dispersion law will be exactly this one. In the limit mu goes to infinity, the density of the solitons will be d determined by the integral equation with a singular kernel by this type of integral equation, which completely decouples from lambda particles. So in addition to this fundamental thesis, to the solitons, there will be the bound states or three sigma model particles, and they will remain massive. So these are Bethe and Zatz equations for the in the limit ID D is cry. So in this limit only two sets of rapidities remain, and both of them represent particles with a finite dispersion law. There will be lambda particles which describe the ferro magnet. This dispersion epsilon F, it will be this one, and the bound states which used to be fundamental particles of the O3 nonlinear sigma mode. So there must be L here as well. I forgot to put L. If you would forget about this factor, this would be better than that equations for the O3 nonlinear sigma mode. Also P EB must be equal to M sinh theta. But now these equations are modified, and they describe two sorts of particles, non-relativistic particles. F have the spectrum of the ferromagnet, and particles B have a spectrum with a spectral gap. I did not write it down explicitly. There will be some formula there. The spectrum does not have a Lorentz symmetry, which is natural, since the system I consider has a finite number of particles in the ground state. There is no Lorentz symmetry. So this Q, which enters into the spectrum of the ferromagnet, is depends on the particle density in the ground state. So it is determined by magnetic field, and you can change it from zero to whatever you like. Well, and that's more or less all I had to say. So, so you get this limit, which actually gives you this ferro magnet, which VHD D describes the SU2C symmetric sector of the Jahn-Mills theory. And there are also some extra particles with a final spectral gap. To what they would correspond in the Jahn-Mills theory, I don't know, but I heard a talk of Juan Maldacena, and he was saying that something of that kind can emerge on the string side. Yeah.
In this, your mechanism which you propose, you destroy explicitly the SU2 symmetry of sigma model in one sector, nevertheless. But we sort of don't expect it, neither in the gauge theory chain nor on the string side. So I see here a potential problem for this proposal. Although the spectrum comes out nicely, but...
just a moment. It's not just the spectrum. This entire Bethe-Ansatz equation is exactly the equation for one SU2C symmetric sector. I don't know how to write down the equations for the grand for the entire thing. It's just one sector.
But on the string side, we don't expect this breakdown of the symmetry. You have SU2 cross SU2 and should be preserved, okay. But you start out from the string sigma model and break explicitly one of the subgroups. Mm. So this is a little bit unusual for me.
More questions?
Do you know what will happen if we add theta term to all three sigma model?
Yes, this also can be done. I cannot answer right away, but there is no problem to do this. There is no whole problem to include here the theta term. The Bethe-Ansatz is known.
And one more question: do you know, is it possible to perform similar analysis for SL2R non-compact chain?
Oh, this I don't know how to do.
Further questions?
You introduce your magnetic field in the direction of the anisotropy of the model. What happens if you tilt it a little bit? Do you get anything interesting?
I think you will, but it's no longer integrable.
You know it's not integrable.
Yes. This is actually the integral of motion. What you do, you see in the Bethe-Ansatz magnetic field just couples to particle numbers. And this is possible only if it is along the z-axis.
More questions?
Sorry, on your last transparency you have this Q. Is it finite or it's
pardon?
Infinite? This Q. Q. Capital Q. No, the last.
Capital Q is related to the particle density in the ground state. It is fine. It is regulated by this magnetic field.
Just one second.
No, it is in the limit when Q is less than one.
It's okay. So it's any. This is asymptotic at the top when Q is small.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the form of the spectrum.
If Q is of this order.
And then
this is finite. Its number is finite. N is a particle number. L over N is a particle density. So Q is finite. I cannot calculate it yet. I haven't finished the calculation.
I had one superficial question concerning the transparency with the two beta equations. That one. Is some of the I pi is actually I pi over 2, the octagonal ones?
It is always I pi.
Oh, I see.
It's just two different kind of particles.
Yeah.
His particles have a spectral gap, and this one's don't.
And which particles are the ones that should describe the gauge theory?
This one.
Excitations.
Lambdas. Lambdas.
Okay, so and the thetas would, you need some distribution of thetas to find the right gauge theory.
No, in the a ground state, there are no thetas. In the ground state there are no thetas. Thetas here are soliton bound states. The right distribution of the right distribution of solitons d determine the d dispersion law. Sigma is a soliton d distribution function, and these thetas correspond to soliton bound states, to excitations of the O3 nonlinear sigma mode, massive excitations of the O3 nonlinear sigma mode. But then they are now renormalized by the presence of this soliton soliton D distribution, classical soliton distribution.
I have a question. So in your, is there some way to relate this original principle chiral model you have to this effective Hubbard action that you have in the book?
Effective Hubbard?
Yeah, the Hubbard. I mean, these guys got this out of the Hubbard model too.
Yes, with a Hubbard model, you need to do the following trick. You need to derive these equations and then change the sign of energy.
Right.
And here you don't do this. This energy is positive. So in the a ground state there are no particles, no thetas, no lambdas.
Right.
When you do your manipulations with a Hubbard model, then the physical ground state of the Hubbard model is anti-ferromagnetic.
More questions? If there are no more questions, let's thank Alexei again.